Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another new year, an incredible new year, and welcome to another edition of the newly recovered from death intermission.
Wait, hang on. I'm not a ghost?
Well, no. You kind of respawned.
Huh.
I didn't get dead. I just got mad. Or maybe just salty.
We took a little bit of a break in order to celebrate the holidays, the new year, all that sort of stuff. But now it's time. We're back. All sorts of things have happened. And now it's time for a little bit of retrospective as to what we've learned over the time we've been doing this podcast. And a little bit of some of the new news that has been happening in the community. And, whoo boy, some of the news has just been, what events to come back to.
It's been like a little 2016 recently.
2016. I remember it as if it was just yesterday.
It was about 27 days ago, dumbass.
I remember it as if it was 27
days
ago.
Way to date the episode.
Yeah, and then I spend a little bit of time to edit this, and who knows, maybe it'll be February before it gets uploaded. Anyway, let's just jump straight into the matters. Lots of deaths in the community. We've got the death of Z-Doom.
Crap, how am I going to play Doom mods?
Which is, it's not something that was entirely unexpected, but it's still kind of a shock in a way, because it's just something that's been there for nearly two decades now.
And there's definitely going to be feeling ripples from this. It's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's not much of a surprise, like Kinsey said, because Randy's presence in the forum has been dwindling significantly over time. Randy is the head developer of Z-Doom and was getting more and more distant from the community. Posting was less frequent, development updates were less frequent, build updates were less frequent, pull requests were accepted at least less frequently, which was of significant irritation to the more familiar to modders developer, Graphzol, who is now pretty much handling the bulk of things himself, along with his motley crew of ragtag group of programmer misfits now. Which I suppose is slightly redundant, but here we go.
That being said, I'd like to think that Randy's done good. I mean, he's given us 20 years of updates.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's been through some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm not sure what was, like, the trigger for deciding to drop the project, but after 18 years of pretty regular updates and dealing with us screaming man children, like, you sort of earn the ability to take a step back and walk away.
Mm-hmm. I don't really think it was one particular thing, so...
Yeah.
Right.
I think it might have just been a multitude of, like, tiny things sort of multiplied by burnout.
Yeah, that's what I get more than anything, is he's just tired.
Speculation of personal motives is never a good idea, but, like, if I was put at gunpoint and forced to put out a theory, I just think it was simply dwindling interest.
Mm.
Like I said, Randy's involvement has been slowing down a lot over time, and then seemingly out of nowhere, Randy came back and just announced simply, I am hereby eschewing further development. Was Randy feeling a little overwhelmed? Maybe. I mean, Z-Doom was started as a personal hobby project. The very first list of features of the very first release build, incredibly small. Very small. Nothing big, nothing fancy. But over nearly two decades of development, a staggering amount of people have joined in the community. And with them, yeah, comes a lot of screaming man children coming to fix things, make new things, hey, include this feature request.
There's and some of them make podcasts.
Three of them, in fact. There's also a possibility of real life getting in the way. I mean, one of the biggest cause of development death is the dreaded IRL. Was there bad blood involved, maybe? I mean, it's possible, but I doubt it. There's several developers in the community that are known for throwing fits when criticism or changes come to light, but Randy wasn't really among them. Randy was pretty personable.
Yeah, on the other hand, like, a lot of the ripples and reactions to it, for the most part, the effects of it are mostly going to be emotional or psychological, because between GZ Doom and the more recent QZ Doom, it's pretty much business as usual development-wise.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as much as I absolutely love Randy's work and love Z-Doom, the death of Z-Doom isn't really going to have a whole lot of an effect on the community. I mean, there's already two official replacements, and people who are pretty much using Z-Doom for whatever purposes, development-wise, have already gutted the code and implemented it into their own projects.
And also, like, GZ-Doom has the Z-Doom software renderer in it, so... Like I said, the real loss in this case is mostly like a tradition, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's sort of weird to put into words.
We definitely lost something that's been around for fucking decades, as you said earlier, Kenz. It's just been something that's, you know, it's just been a thing since Doom modding really took off.
Yeah, it's like one of your favorite games no longer is in production.
Scalebound, no!
Now who's dating this?
Z-Doom Forums, as a result from this, has been just completely reorganized. The project session has been entirely rehauled, and now there's specific sections for levels, gameplay mods, total conversions, resources, graphics and sound patches, software and ports. There's like a little bit of something for everything.
Yeah, it's nice to see some like change happening in certain ways, like just not staying static. And between the forums reorganization, the Dawner Z script, and so on, there's been a lot of stuff going on under the hood with varying levels of effect on the user base at large. And I think it'll be interesting to see what's going to sort of shake out of all that.
This was weird, man. My muscle memory's acting up. Spoilers are like boxes now. What's up with that?
One thing that this forum change definitely affects is... gameplay mods have long dominated the Z-Doom forums because of the perpetual nature of them. With a level set, you've got a pretty finite cutoff point. This is where you stop. For gameplay mods, it's a lot hazier to really determine when is a gameplay mod finished. So because of that, they would just constantly update and update and update and kind of just fill up the projects forum on the front page. Now, it's going to be a lot easier to find Z-Doom level sets and Z-Doom map sets.
Yeah, it'll be...
Now we can find Complex Doom easier. What a treat.
Yeah, and speaking of level sets, now we got, Z-Doom is not the only thing that is unfortunately passed. We also have GZ-Doom Builder, which has been a bit heavier of a blow.
From what I understand, the author was putting together a new texture browser. And there were opinions that this new texture browser was not as good or was not as easy to use as the previous texture browser. I haven't used it myself, so I'm not sure how much of that is just familiarity with the old one or whether or not there are actual UX problems with it. And the author's response was more or less, fine, fuck you, I quit.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's something. I mean, I haven't updated it in over a year, but what a reason to quit. Holy cow, wow.
Wait a minute, how long has GZ Doom Builder been in production?
Good while now.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that has shaken out of this is that when Z-Doom was finished up recently, there was already two forks continuing on. It was business as usual. Shortly after GZ Doom Builder, was cancelled, for lack of a better word, someone else picked it up and is continuing development of it as GZ Doom Builder Bug Fix.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the moral of the story is that basically in the Doom community, nothing stays dead. There's just mild inconveniences along the way as things change hands.
Nobody ever quits Doom, especially when they go to the effort to write a goodbye post.
Yeah, like, I've talked about this on the podcast in the past, and the hardest thing to do with a creative endeavor, and yet the most important thing to do with a creative endeavor, is to learn to not take negative feedback personally. Like, it's going to affect you, but you have to sort of, like, learn how to file it away and sort of look at it from an external point of view, I suppose. Sort of like a doctor's sort of distance from his patients, I guess. It's a very difficult art to learn. Like, it took me a very long time. But it's just so important that you sort of figure this out, because not everything you do is going to be appreciated or even liked by a bunch of people. And if you take what they say completely to heart, then you're doomed.
My next question would be, if GZ Doom Builder's dead, what the fuck are we going to use now?
GZ Doom Builder bug fix.
Mm-hmm. Someone's made a fork of it and is updating it as we speak.
Oh, well, yeah, that is just a minor inconvenience. That's a road bump.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't die, they just change hands around here.
And then, possibly the final death in the community, the death of Dropbox. And this is really only related to the community by extension. And even then, it's not really much of a death.
It's a convenience. Inconvenience.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It is a very, very big inconvenience. Okay. Dropbox recently made an announcement that folders will not default to public viewing for links that are shared by people. And this applies retroactively to projects that were already hosted on Dropbox.
So what's happened, basically, is that in the past, when you created a Dropbox account, there was a folder in it called Public that you could just create hot links to. A few years ago, a while ago, they stopped automatically creating that folder. And come March, the public folder will not be a thing anymore. It'll just be a normal Dropbox folder, and you'll have to create share links the long way.
And that's a pain in the ass.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems like people are kind of overreacting.
Not just aside from being a pain in the ass, it also means that a bunch of links up to mods are probably going to break, and we'll have to like chase up modders and ask them to update the links. Now, this only really affects mods, at least in the last couple of years, so I don't really think that it's going to be the death of a bunch of projects and like we'll lose a bunch of stuff. But it's just going to be a pain in the ass, like asking people to update links and chasing people around. And it's just going to be an inconvenience, basically.
Most things that's going to come with it, someone's going to be like, hey, can you re-upload your mod? And you'll have to be like, I've already uploaded my mod. I just have to change the permissions for sharing.
Like that lazy jerkwad that made Jamoda. He hasn't updated that thing in almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
Wait.
And then there's one whole Samsara thing. I wonder how the reboot of that's been going along.
Yeah. I bet that guy eats Vegemite, fucking weirdo.
Honestly, in terms of... this isn't going to be a big, huge death like the death of DRD Team long ago was. DRD Team, a whole bunch of people used that service to host a lot of mods. And then when it died, we lost a whole bunch of history that we can't get back. Likewise, with the death of the automatic best-ever hosting service, we lost a lot of mods from that because the links aren't available. With Dropbox, the links aren't dead, they're just not public. So we have to pursue the guy, ask him to make it public again, and then download it. They're not lost forever.
Of course, though, if the creator has fallen off the face of the earth, then we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and that is probably going to be the case for quite a lot of projects.
But on the other hand, like I said, this only affects projects like in the last couple of years. So even if the creator has fallen off the face of the earth, someone's probably downloaded it and still has it.
And hallelujah for that. Alright, and let's get back into the spirit of things. We've got enough of death and doom and gloom, even though I guess Dropbox's death isn't really a death. Alright, let's talk about some births, some new stuff that happens in the community. Hey, Shivers, now that you're here, I hear you released a mod recently, huh?
Ah, yeah, it's pretty good. I don't like it much at all.
When the fuck is Laundry 3?
Wasn't that supposed to be out in October?
It was supposed to be out like 2 Octobers ago, I forget. I don't know, it's got like content and stuff now. I just wanted to make a dumb map set, and now it's all this like 10 levels secret maps and a dog's there. It's crazy, man.
But yeah, how about we talk about some gameplay mods that popped up? Or at least one.
Final Doomer.
Yeah, Final Doomer has come out. If you're not familiar with it, which you might not be since it came out very recently, it is a gameplay mod with three player classes. One themed on the Plutonio experiment from Final Doom, one themed on TNT Evolution, also from Final Doom, and one that's just a tweaked version of the normal Doom 2 weapons.
Yeah, one that's based off Doom 2, but who the fuck plays that, right?
Probably the same people who played the Doom Guy class in Samsara.
Actually, there was quite a few people that played Doom Guy in Samsara when it came to the other IWADs. There was a lot of fun in, like, going as Doom Guy through Hex and Heretic.
And, I mean, to be fair, the Berserk Pack powered up the chainsaw with Doom Guy in Samsara, which is rad.
Wait, what? It did?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Huh.
More you know. That's neat.
Yeah, but I've always been a kind of sucker for weapon sets that are themed specifically after certain map sets, like how Wild Weasel's Nazis was specifically designed for Epic and Epic 2. That is great. And likewise...
And how every turn mod was designed for Scythe 2.
Hey, Scythe 2 is great. Fight me. Fight me. And
all right, let's load up Dwango then.
And I'm happy because a lot of people, when they play through the IWADs, a lot of people suggest play through all of Doom 1, play through Doom 2 until you get bored, and then TNT and Plutonia for flavor. Like with this, now there's something that you can really play through the entirety of TNT and Plutonia with. And Plutonia is my absolute favorite of the IWADs, so I'm really happy that a lot of people can experience the new pleasures and ingenious traps that have popularized the IWAD for decades.
Pleasures?
You want to know why I made this mod? Like, one of the primary reasons?
Because the revolver's cool?
Well, yeah, but I've actually never played Plutonia from start to finish. I got to, like, map 2 every time, like, what the heck am I supposed to do? How do I get across this chasm? And then I skipped around the later maps. I'm like, yeah, these are good. But I never actually played it. And so now that I've actually sat down, gone from map 1 to map whatever 30, it's good. It's a really good map set. I can see why people like it.
It's like, hey, why am I losing health all of a sudden? Oh, hello, Chain Gunner.
5 miles across the room.
5 miles across the room? Hey, why am I lighting on fire? Oh, hey, look, there's an Arc Vial and 2 Revenants and Arachnotron. Can I use this revolver on myself?
You'll have to forgive Keggles. He was playing Plutonia early, and from the sounds of things, it basically dipped its meatballs in his mouth.
It turned him into a burger.
You're up to that map with the elevator with the chain gunners, and when if you walk off the elevator, it just seals on you, and you're stuck outside with a whole bunch of monsters, right? Mm-hmm. And there's just, like, nukage pits everywhere?
The worst part is that could be several maps in Plutonia. It's like, hey, you know that part where the really fucked up trap with, like, the chain gunners pop out of nowhere and start shooting you? Which one? How about the map where you start and there's a chain gunner right up your ass?
It's really interesting because there was recently a sort of a comparison about the monsters that were used throughout the different IWADs and how frequently they were. And you had Doom 2, and it used a decent amount of variety of enemies, a wide variety, a little bit of everything. Doom 2 used mostly the new enemies, I mean, obviously. And then you get Plutonia, and guess what enemies it uses the most?
It takes 5 Arch Vials, a couple Revenants, Chain Gunners, throw some Pain Elementals and Mancubi in there for flavor.
Yeah, the absolute most commonly used enemies in Plutonia were the Chain Gunners and the Revenants, outweighing all of the other monster types.
That's one of the interesting things I think about Plutonia, is that a lot of modern mods, they focus entirely on enemy count to be dangerous and give the mod map difficulty. But Plutonia, a lot of the maps have monsters under 100, and the way they get you is just by using them well, or using them in incredibly annoying ways and cheap traps. Mm-hmm. Which
and
I can
very
respect.
Difficult methods.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many traps I've encountered where there's a fucking Baron of Hell, and he takes 3 steps forward, and he hits a teleporter, and then he's right up my ass behind me.
Have you gotten up to the part where you walk into a room, and there's a Baron of Hell across the room, and 6 Hell Knights, and there's no escape from the room? You just have to fight them?
I don't think so. I had a lot of trouble with the room where you get teleported in, there's no way out, and the walls lower down, there's like 2 Barons of Hell, 2 Hell Knights, 3 imps and 2 caco demons that float in, and earlier they give you an invisibility sphere. It's like, have fun, shithead! It's like, you did that on purpose!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting concept to create a weapon mod specifically for Team TNT presents suckmydickchokeonit.wad.
Oh. But let's talk about the Plutonia weapons. I'll be the first one to point out, because I'm very excited about it. All the handguns in the mod have infinite reloads. They all have unique methods.
Kagan, keep it in your pants.
No. Look, I gotta wave this thing around, okay? I don't have to worry about ammo, and there's no friendly fire, so you can deal with a few bullet holes in the walls, okay? But there's the revolver for Plutonia guy, which obviously is a six shooter. It hits really hard. Like, you can drop a pinky in like four rounds sometimes. TNT guy gets some almost like a little Glock kind of thing, but it's got like 17 rounds in it, and it lights up with TNT every time you fire it, just to remind you what map set you're playing. It's like, oh, thank God. I was getting lost there for a second. I thought this was nuts.wad. And, of course, regular old Doom guy has the pistol.
But it does reload.
Yep, and it does reload, which that is going to piss off some people.
Mm-hmm. I expect it. I think it's also right-handed. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
I'm also really fond of the machine guns in Plutonia, because I want to know, whose decision was it, Shivers, to make the plasma gun replacement into a hit-scanning light machine gun? Was that yours?
Well, I looked at my sprites folder, and I said, hey, wouldn't this big old World War II machine gun look good in this? And Yo says, yeah. And I said, okay, we'll put it in.
Let's cover it with vines, it's good.
Let's just leave it in the jungle for a few years.
But, general rule of thumb for those of you that play Final Doomer and play with the Plutonia map set, or Plutonia weapons set, if you decide to use the machine gun, like that big machine gun, use it on big dudes and just kind of aim in the general direction and fire, because you're not going to be able to see shit when you start shooting with that thing.
What can I say? I like the Wolfenstein 3D chain gun for that reason, too.
It's like, wow, look at all this screen shake. It's like I'm playing a Vampire game. Is this Nuclear Throne?
Wow, is this Cloverfield?
Generally speaking, like I said before, I just love weapon sets that are themed after a specific set of maps. And Final Doomer, that's wonderful. It's two of my favorite IWADs. There was also Run For It, which, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
I almost forgot about that.
I love that mod.
Mm-hmm.
Run. I mean, that kind of takes that, you know, that whole phrase of, well, it just didn't get up and walk away a little bit too literally.
Mm-hmm. Run For It is a joke mod that gives everything legs and a willingness to run away from Doom Guy. Everything.
And he means everything. Like, corpses get up and run away. Projectiles get up and run towards you.
And barrels.
Items.
Weapons,
power-ups. Lost souls have legs.
And boy, do they have legs.
I just want to see if they could do some egg-slat hackery to make the textures run off, too.
Oh, that would be hilarious. It was...
Oh, you want to modified put the map, too bad.
Modified map 30 with a 3D model so that the icon of Sin just gets up and starts whooping away.
Hang on a minute. I'm going to open up an image editor and send him a file.
Do this by Shivers.
Yes. This is basically how all maps start, isn't it? Anyway, it is a very, very interesting mod. It doesn't have a whole lot of lasting power because it actually gets very annoying very quickly, but if you really want to prank your friend, just slip it into their skins folder and invite them to play a rousing match of Plutonia.
There is some novel ideas to it, though, because with it, if you equip the plasma gun and shoot along the floor, the plasma projectiles just kind of sit there, and you can run along it like an instant bridge. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, there's a button that you can make your any projectiles that you've fired stop, so you can run across them, and you can also hit a button to make them all self-destruct.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very useful for like things like rockets, too. If you miss something and don't hit dead on, you can just hit the button and explode it right next to them. Very useful. It's not a gameplay mod that I'd expect to be on playlists for, like, years or so, but it's a very interesting novelty, and I'm really hoping that someone takes the idea of, like, creating a bridge and running around everywhere and puts it in something with a little bit more substance.
Seriousness?
What am I, Serious Sam? Then next up we have, this isn't actually a recent release, but it bears mentioning nonetheless. We have Zazer arousing from his regular slumber in order to deliver another heaping golden egg. Dead Air.
Hey, I love that mod.
Dead Air is a, well, I'm hesitant to say map because it actually does significantly more, but it was a map that was created for the Vinesauce Doom mapping contest held by Joel of Vinesauce, challenging people to create a map for this old game that surely nobody does anything for anymore.
Surprise!
Surprise! Zazer came out.
You opened up a can of worms.
Yeah.
So, Dead Air, it's basically a single level TC, basically. There's an all new monster set, there's an all new weapon set. It's all centered around this single level. And aesthetically, it's just, Zazer is on the top of his game here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is, goddamn.
Like, all these, a lot of these recent releases, like No End in Sight, have been focused on, like, vanilla or boom compatibility. While Dead Air is fully Z-Doom, GZ-Doom, so he gets to finally cut loose, I suppose, and cut loose he does.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very interesting how the, I'd say, what would you guys say, like the first half of the map starts up very linear, and then you get to the main building and it turns out to be a hub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dug that.
And obviously, I don't want to spoil too much for folks. I'm sure everybody else will agree with me on this one. If you like, you know, if you want to see some interesting maps and have maybe a good, reasonable challenge, go play Dead Air. Go play it, seriously. Mm-hmm. But I love how each, once you hit the hub, each segment that you visit gives you a new weapon and then gives you essentially a tutorial map. And it puts you, it makes you put that weapon through its paces. And I love that kind of design. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that about it too.
I slightly soiled that for myself by accidentally picking the tutorial area of the best weapon first.
Which one is that? Which color door?
I can't remember off the top of my head at the moment because I haven't really played it since it first got released. But it was the most powerful, like the sort of plasmary weapon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was the first one I did too, and it was great.
Yeah.
So all the other weapons are just like, eh.
It's one of those. It's all right, I guess. Yeah, it's one of those map sets where it's really like best played instead of talked about, which is a shame because there's so much to really talk about. So I guess like probably next time, come E2M1, we'll be discussing it a little bit more. Oh yeah, spoiler alert, we're going to be doing a second season of Intermission. What are the odds?
What?
No!
How will Kinsey escape Deimos?
Yeah, Kinsey, what was it like fighting the Joel Keegan brothers?
I typed in the Resurrect cheat because I'm a huge scrub.
Wait, no, if anything, it'd be two Joels, and they'd just be like, hey, die. In, like, perfect sync.
Mm-hmm.
Remember,
that'd be easy. You just shake a potato chip packet near them and they run away screaming.
And they fly away. Right. I thought we established that I'd be more of a Revenant than a Baron.
Yeah. All right, and then moving on to...
I always thought you was Midgit.
Right, and then moving on to our final release. This one is actually brand spanking new, so we have not actually played it yet. But there has been a recent release of a map set called Counterattack, released by the legendary Mechadon. And let me just be honest when I say this thing gives me wood so large I could knock down a wooden tree with it.
I'm actually surprised that Mechadon made this, because he's been doing supplies with Cage and Jimmy for like 16 years or something now, so...
Well, no, I don't feel too bad about Launcher 3, but...
So seeing this suddenly come out of nowhere, like, makes me feel like a slacker.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about the new levels subform for Z-Doom is that, the thing about Counterattack is that it's a boom map set, but it's posted on the Z-Doom forums because this new dedicated levels forum, it's going to invite a lot more people to sort of cross-post. The common conception is that Doom World has been for the sort of purist folks, and that's where they post all the map sets and stuff, and Z-Doom's been for the gameplay mods because of the aforementioned, well, gameplay mods sort of dominate the projects. But with this new levels thing, people can post the map sets on both places. Now, that's not going to address the fact that nobody pays attention to gameplay mods on Doomworld, but hey, progress.
Baby steps.
And Counterattack looks beautiful. Mechadon is an incredibly accomplished and talented mapper. He is just... he's insane! I mean, he's been responsible for all sorts of incredible things. He's done Sabbat Martyr Deathmatch. He's done Vertigone. He's done a whole bunch of 32 and 24s. He's done Claustrophobia 1024. He's done Green War 2, Stronghold on the Edge of Chaos, Space DM9, Back to Saturn X, Community Chess 4, 50 Shades of Grey Tall, THT Threnody. Oh,
take a breath, man!
He was...
That's some wavelength.
Yeah, he's some mapper of the year of, like, 2009. He's done some incredible stuff. I am so eager to play this. In fact...
You're downloading it now, aren't you?
I should probably do that. One second. Let's see. Okay, yeah. Yes, I'm downloading it while I'm recording. I don't care. Okay. Yes, got it. Yes. So...
I can't believe you're so organized. Disorganized term. I mean, what next? You're just going to let someone drop in at a random second?
Yeah, well, what are the chances of that?
Oppayo.
Alright, so, with that out of the way, got some new mod releases, new future for Zedum. It's going to be an exciting 2017, that's for sure. I am really excited to see what the community does, what more projects come out, what people make. Good stuff all around. And like I said, throughout 2016, we've learned some really interesting things doing Intermission as well. And, yeah, we're going to do Season 2. We had a lot of fun with this. Overall reception has been kind of interesting. I didn't expect just sort of nerds talking about, hey, what have you been playing? What have you been making? But people have been pretty interested in listening in and listening to us ramble about our opinions.
Yeah, it's like the feedback has actually been more positive than I thought it would be. I mean, I'm not like a radio personality, and I don't have that radio voice going on, but it's been interesting to see like how people react to the stuff we're talking about, the stuff we're saying.
Mm-hmm. And of course, talking about opinions has always been fun, so, I mean, it's not like we're...
Your opinions are dumb, though.
Keegan, please.
What?
Stop talking to the mirror.
I was wondering why you suddenly got more handsome.
Sorry, Keegan, it's not my fault. I'm not fat.
What the hell?
One thing that has been kind of, I won't say controversial, but one people have definitely noticed is different, and that I've noticed is different when I listen to other podcasts, the whole fact that we have music playing in the background. That is... an interesting decision that has not been done in a lot of podcasts, and it's actually kind of a challenge for me to find a whole bunch of new MIDIs to kind of filter through, put as MP3, and put in each week. Most of the time, I've just been asking other people, hey, can I use your conversions? Yeah, cool. Okay, I'm gonna upload it in this video. But it kind of lends a bit more of a Doom feel to the podcast.
We're basically NPR Audio Lab.
By the way.
And it's also challenging to decide, like, what music goes into the podcast, because a lot of Doom music, for some reason that nobody has ever been able to figure out, uses MIDI distortion guitars.
Ugh.
Which do not match with podcasts.
No, they even when you put down the volume, they tend to be really loud, and they drown out a lot of speaking.
So, if you're saying that this podcast is more Doom-like, when are you going to start adding the sounds of doors come opening and closing, you know, that and, like, revenants chattering?
Do we hide download links behind blue key doors?
Yeah.
You know, and revenants chattering, and you got, you know, a few Doom guys in the background humping walls and going...
That swamp sound that the imps make.
Honestly, probably, like, the best soundtrack that I've probably used for a background music hit is the Hexen and Heretic OST, because, obviously, they don't use a lot of guitar, but they're just perfect ambience music. I mean, they're kind of there in the background. They sit in the mind, they set the mood, but they're not distracting.
I think the best soundtrack that we've used so far is the Ancient Aliens soundtrack, but that's just because the Ancient Aliens soundtrack is so good!
Yes! God.
I've expoused about this before, but like the song that plays during the big Illuminati revealed level with the soaring saxophone, it's just, if it wasn't completely committed to the act, it would be cheesy, but it does it right, and it's just like, fuck yes!
We should play.
Especially when combined with like the level that it's in. It just completely commits to its aesthetic, and it's all the better for it.
Yeah, Keegan, you should play Ancient Aliens. I mean, it considering I wrote the friggin' Keck Awards article, it's safe to say I'm a fan of Ancient Aliens, but hey, Keegan, guess what?
What?
You should play Ancient Aliens. Why have you not played it yet? it's generally a curse of gameplay modders as a whole. You can list off the map sets you've played in basically a one hand.
Please don't ask what the other hand's used for.
The other hand's for coding, obviously.
Right. Talk about that recent Kotaku article yet?
moving on.
Look, what Mike does is his own business.
Let's move.
At least until we get him on this thing. It's really not a case of if anymore.
Yeah. Starting out, though, with the intermission, boy, we really did not have a clue about how to actually podcast. I mean, our first episode was rough. We knew nothing about conversation flow, how to dither subjects, how to spread out subjects, when to shut up, when to talk, when to let other people talk, when to keep the
conversation. Some of us haven't learned that yet.
Yeah, I guess technically speaking, we still don't actually know how to podcast. None of us have any formal training or experience whatsoever. This has been entirely on the fly.
Yeah, like, the first episode, I think, was just like, hey, you want to make a podcast? Sure, okay. Let's jump into the Discord channel.
And wait, how like, do we do this again?
Yeah, it was completely seed at a pants, spur at a moment, and, like, it was fun, and it was fun enough that we did it again and kept doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that we just kind of kept going with it. I mean, I was expecting we'd make one or two episodes, leave it for half a year, and then make another one.
Yeah.
Well, Alfonso's got that covered.
that's Doom Radio says they're going to release more episodes in 2017. Like, Alfonso's, he's been setting up an interview. I think the next episode is an interview with Jimmy. And so we'll see if he actually holds to his bargain. And if not, I'm probably going to call him mean things.
But yeah, it's been really interesting to see, like, none of us, like you said, none of us are professionals at this. None of us really know what we're doing. And none of us have really, like, radio-friendly voices. Well, Turn sort of does, but me and Shivers, like, our accents are completely fucked.
And I'm bro. I don't even know what you're talking about, Al.
Well, I mean, if zero punctuation has proven anything, it's that people can get by solely by the power of their accent.
And it's sort of funny to see people, like, sort of, when giving like critique and feedback on the episode, it's simply referring to me as the Aussie or that fucking Aussie.
It's kind of interesting when people have been confusing Shivers for an Australian too.
I'm just surprised nobody's complained about me.
I suppose that this means that like in the next season, I'm gonna have to put on my American radio voice and stuff.
That was horrifying. Never ever do that again.
Don't do that again.
Ever. No. One thing that I've noticed about podcasting is it's really, really easy to fall into this trap because we're talking about things, we already know what we're talking about, and we're just kind of shooting the shit back and forth, but we have to be careful with what we talk about because the stuff we know and take for granted is stuff that the audience just doesn't really know about. We use
How about the CAC Awards?
We use like a lot of lingo, we use a lot of specific terminology, we talk about things that have already happened that people outside of the community probably have no idea about. And so it's really kind of difficult to catch ourselves and go, okay, look about this from an outsider's perspective, should we explain this, or should we just go on ahead?
What's a decorate? Because that's the problem. We're so knuckle deep in this that, like, well, even wrist deep at this point, that we're basically making this podcast for ourselves, with ourselves, and, like, as a result, we've sort of forgotten that, like, people who aren't as crazy and lifeless as us might listen to these. So we sort of have to take a step back and, like Term said, give some background.
Mm-hmm. I think probably my favorite comment that I've ever received was a friend, she was listening to it, and she was going, oh yeah, I really like this. I'm having a lot of fun listening to it. It's wonderful background noise. I have absolutely no clue what any of you are saying. And I was just, oh.
That sounds about right.
Oh. Oops.
How are you going, fellow doomers? How about those line diffs, huh?
Today I will go home.
So I guess from here, like, for 2010, like I said, we're going to be doing a second season. We're going to be doing more. We're going to be going in depth. But, like, where do we take the podcast from here? Like, what do we do? How do we advance things? How do we improve things?
And we've received a bunch of feedback in from different perspectives on, like, how to improve things, where to go with it. One of the suggestions was better hardware. And that's not really a priority for all of us because money. You need money to get better hardware.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty bare-bones setup. Term's using, like, Audacity, and I think his headset's disintegrating as we speak.
Yeah.
Ah!
Shit.
But basically what we're getting at is, please support Intermission on Patreon. We need microphones. Don't actually, we don't have one.
Yeah, we're using, like, cheap store mics. Like I said, like we mentioned before, we're just flying by the seat of our pants. It is entirely improv. There's no experience whatsoever. And that extends so much as our hardware. We are just, we're garage store, basically.
I use an $11 headset.
I use a makeshift microphone made out of some duct tape, a small rodent, and a microphone.
And in a way, I guess that kind of fits the spirit of the podcast, because like a lot of retro FPSs, they were just kind of made with borrowed hardware. Like, there is a very, very interesting story about the development of Doom, about Carmack during development. He would steal computers from where he was working, and he would carry them to the offices of id Software. And then after his work at id was done, he would take them back to where he was working and put them back on the shelves.
You talking about
that sounds about right.
Dave?
Yeah.
It might have been like during like the pre-Doom days or whatever.
Really?
Because once Doom was up, once Doom was in development, they were rich enough to like buy a next workstation.
Oh, my mistake.
I thought it was something about soft disk or something.
Mm.
Yeah, it was probably during the soft disk days or before that even.
Yeah, my mistake. Boy, what a good Doom fan I am, huh?
Oh, hey, actually, there's something that you guys, I'm not sure if you talked about. John Romero opened a Discord server.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Went about as well as you think. But hey, at least everyone can friend John Romero and ask him about Hexen and stuff. Did you know it's his fault that you have to solve 1/5 of the puzzle?
Mm-hmm.
So that's who to blame. All these years I've been, like, commissioning witch doctors to put curses on the wrong person.
Oh, well, I guess you're responsible for Daikatana, then. That explains it.
If only I hadn't cursed Wolfenstein 2009 to such bad sales.
It's your fault. Come on, dude.
Look, Shivers, just because a game has an MP40 in it doesn't mean by it's good.
I know. It wasn't very good. And now it's impossible to buy because it's like off Steam. This is turning into a Wolfenstein project broadcast. Stop.
Yeah, kind of forcibly steering things back on topic. You can tell we've been away for a while. But the future of the podcast, in terms of like my own personal improvements, I've mentioned this before, but YouTube is really not an ideal hosting service for a podcast. Once we formally start season 2, I'm going to be looking at hosting on, like, Google Podcasts, the iTunes podcast thing, but one requirement for that is setting up an RSS. Do you guys...
What now?
Do you guys know what an RSS is?
I think it's like a Napster.
Yeah, this is embarrassing. I mean, I work with computers so much, and I really just don't know what an RSS is.
Is it some kind of IRC? IRC? Winamp?
Kazaa?
It's that thing. Oh, hang on, I think I know what it is. It's that thing that Google tried to kill when they canceled Google Reader.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I'm just really going to have to look into alternative hosting, figure out what RSS is, and see if we can upload on different sites. Because, again, YouTube, not ideal at all. Can't edit things after the fact, and there's a whole pesky video part that I'm still hanging over me like a wet album, even though you can just go to any MP3 and look at a single picture while the entire song plays. Still kind of embarrassing for me. Speaking of which, Kinsey made a nice album cover for the individual MP3s that I have absolutely no clue how to apply, and that too is a little bit embarrassing to me.
It's pretty easy if you have like Winamp or iTunes or something, but like, it's nothing. It can be taken care of.
I have VLC.
Winamp.
I have VLC.
Keegan, I listen to a lot of SPC files, and I'm just going to drop the Winamp conversation.
I mean, I like Winamp, but it has kind of died.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't that the audio player with the 6 skins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it actually had a lot of really cool skins.
Mm-hmm.
I just used.
Can we turn this podcast into a Winamp skin podcast?
No, we can't. No, we
okay,
will
we're
not.
Getting way off topic.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's not really a whole lot of topic left. I mean, we've got stuff that happened while we were gone. We've got what we learned from intermission, what we're going to do to intermission. And from there, I guess we can just keep on charging ahead into 2017. Wish for the best, try our best to do even more work, even better, and see how things go.
Let's run this shit into the ground! Woo!
Yeah!
While both of you are here, I would like to give a special thanks to both Kinsey and Shivers for being the Kickstarters and going along with my mad project idea and spinning this into pretty much 9 episodes at this point.
Damn. 9 more than I thought we'd make.
Shivers is kind of a frequent dropout, but he's always with us, even in spirit.
I have a dog now. I can't talk about fun video games on the internet.
I'm surprised your dog hasn't just kind of lashed out and bit at you now already. But
I wouldn't speak too soon.
Even when you're not here, though, I mean, we have our 3 most consistent voices. We have me, Kinsey, Kinsey's chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, funny story. I actually got a new chair for Christmas.
Wait, what?
Yep.
Wow.
So after it killed you, you got it replaced.
Yeah, like, I can go, like, and it doesn't sound like the house is falling down anymore.
No, it just...
Congratulations.
Now it just sounded like you were jerking off. But still, that's definitely...
We have to wait until Mike's on for that.
Still, very much an
improvement.
Good
night, everybody!
Those of you in the first few rows, you will get wet.
Ah!
And then from there...
Good night, everybody!
Play us off, Bobby Prince!